good to be with you today. Say thanks to Tim for inviting Amy and I down to have the chance to share the message today. It's always an honor when you get to share God's word. It's always kind of weighty sometimes too, usually is, but always a privilege and honor to be here. And we have felt really welcome, so thank you for making us feel welcome. We really appreciate that and the way you've all extended hospitality. It's good, really good to be together in worship. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Hey, we're continuing a series, get to be a part of the series you guys started called Called to Duty. And kind of to get us thinking and kind of think a little bit about where I'm going to go, I want to just ask you a question. When you think of someone that you consider, maybe that our culture considers to be strong and courageous, who comes to mind? So who comes to mind for you? And I've got just some ideas. Maybe there's a new Avengers movie out. I know a lot of people are big fans of Avengers, and this new movie called The Infinity War just came out. So we got characters in there like Iron Man or even this Captain America. We kind of think of them as being strong and courageous, those type of people. A lot of us lived through 9/11. You know, that's been 17 years ago now, almost 17 years. And so we have this memory of the members, the men and women of the New York Police Department, New York Fire Department, who went into the burning towers and then sacrificed themselves, and those that came after to help just kind of clean things up. And so we think of them as being strong and courageous. And even, you know, our police and fire today that are serving in that way, the men and women that faithfully serve to protect us, we think of them as being strong and courageous. A lot of us think of, you know, members of our armed forces. We have, maybe you've served, maybe you have children serving there now, maybe a son or a daughter. I know my grandfather was a World War I vet. And there's his picture. He was in the Army outside one of his barracks. And I like to think of him as being strong and courageous. I never met him. He died before I was born. I'm named after both my grandfathers, but we keep this picture in our family room. Just a reminder, we haven't blown up, but just a reminder of who he was. And I think of him as being a strong and courageous man. Or we may have somebody like a Corrie Ten Boom, for example, who endured just years in Nazi concentration camps and the things she went through. If you know any of her story, it's amazing. But I think of her as strong and courageous as well. And for me, I'm a big sports guy. I'm a baseball fan, a huge baseball fan. So someone like Jackie Robinson comes to mind for me. Here's a guy who broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. That took a lot of courage, a lot of strength to do that. If you've seen the movie 42, kind of his life story, you get a feel for what he had to endure as he was doing this. A lot of strength and courage. And great examples. Maybe folks that came to mind for you, maybe not. Maybe you had somebody else that you thought of that had come to mind as being strong and courageous. But the point is this. All of us probably have some image in our mind of what it means to be strong and courageous. You have someone that comes to mind, something that comes to mind when you think of being strong and courageous. So our time together this morning, I want to look at a guy in the Bible, a guy by the name of Joshua. When Tim had invited me down and told me what the series was, Called to Duty, Joshua immediately jumped to my mind. Because you find the story of his life back in the Old Testament, back in the Hebrew Bible. And it's wedged right in between the books of Deuteronomy and Judges. You find Joshua there. And the thing about Joshua is this. It's his life is defined by strength and courage. But maybe not in the ways that we usually think about it. Maybe in the ways that our culture tells us to think about it. Because his life is probably more defined as courageous faithfulness, as being courageous faithfulness. His story, again, is in Joshua 1 is where we will read. But I want to just pause just for a moment, and let's just pray before we do that. Open up God's word. So gracious God, we just come before you. We thank you for your presence here right now today. God, we know you're in this place. We know that your Holy Spirit is here in our midst. And we pray that as we open your word today, that you would open our hearts to what it is you have to say to us, that you would speak to us, that we would have ears to hear, we would have a heart to receive, God, and then we would have the courage to go forth in obedience to whatever it is that you might call us to in the way of responding. And so, God, my prayer is that today that my message and my preaching that it might be, that might not be done with wise or persuasive words, but it would rest on your Spirit's power working in our midst, so that our faith might not rest and depend on anything that I would say, on man's wisdom, but it would depend solely on your power, God, the power of the resurrection that we find in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all of his people said, amen. Amen. So if you want to read along, again, Joshua chapter 1, this is verse 1 and following. I'll read the first 9 verses for you. This is what we find. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, so Moses had led the people out of Israel, the great Exodus, 400 years of slavery, and then they didn't get to enter in the promised land. Now Moses has died, and then God comes to Joshua, and he says this: the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. So they've come to this place. God said, I'm going to give you this land now, and here's my mission to you. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory is going to extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea to the west. So God's kind of laid out the boundary for them. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now this opening section, these verses 1 through 9, it really sets the tone. It kind of sets the whole scene, the whole purpose for the entire book of Joshua, what's going to take place. And one of the first things that happens is that this key theological, it's really key theological, really key doctrinal point jumps out, and it's this: God speaks to Joshua and promises to be with him. He promises to be with him. God says, just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And Joshua knew what that was like, because, as I said, Moses had led them, the people, out of Egypt, these years of slavery. God did all this work through Moses, and Joshua was able to see that happen. He saw how God was with him and how he led the people. So God says, I'm going to be with you. But he goes further. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. It's one of the great promises in all of Scripture. God's promise to be with us, his presence with us. Yeah, I had a professor at seminary. I went to Asbury Seminary down in Kentucky, and he said this. He said, in the Old Testament, we find this, that God is with us. He said, when Jesus comes, we see him in the New Testament, we discover that God is among us. He says, and now that Jesus has gone to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit, God is in us. There's a progression that goes along. God with us, God among us, and now God in us. You would consider this, it's an amazing offer of grace that God's extended to us. This offer, this act of grace, because we don't deserve it, right? We've done nothing that we should earn it, but God still makes that promise to us. And for most of us, I think we're usually probably not aware of it. Came in this morning, you probably weren't aware that God was with you. Maybe even through this time this morning, maybe you weren't aware yet that God is with you. You haven't really thought about it. Maybe we don't even really understand it, what that really means for us in our day-to-day life. But it remains a key belief, a real foundational theological belief for the Christian faith, that God is with us. He says, I will be with you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And that promise, it still holds true today. It hasn't changed through all these years. Over 2,000, 3,000 years, that promise has never changed. God said, I will be with you. You see, God's greatest desire is to be with us, to be involved in all aspects of our lives, and so that we might come to know him, but not just know about him, because you can know about someone. You can study a book, read about a character in a book. You can read a biography about anybody, and you can know about them. But God actually wants us to know him, and there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing that someone. And we come to know him through this act of grace, where he's offering himself to us. And we come to experience and discover life with him. So as we come to know him, we come to experience and discover life with him. And here's the thing I've come to understand about this move of God's grace, God's graciousness toward us, his presence with us. And it's this: it always requires a response on our part. Always requires a response on our part. Imagine this, so maybe help you get an idea of this. So imagine it's your birthday, and your wife gets you a gift certificate for 18 holes of golf, a full round of golf at a golf course, hypothetically speaking, that you've mentioned a time or two. Actually, every time you drive by this particular golf course, you mentioned, I would really like to play that golf course someday. Again, this is all hypothetical, right? But you say, I'd really like to play that someday. And so for your birthday one year, she gets you a gift certificate for this golf course. Now, it's a great gift. All you have to do, it's all paid for. All you have to do is one thing. You have to pick up the phone. You have to call the golf course and make a reservation for a tee time. That's all you have to do. Again, hypothetically, what if you never actually make that phone call? And that gift certificate expires in 1 year, and a year from now you find the gift certificate and you realize, oh no, I never actually redeemed this gift certificate that your lovely wife got you out of an act of graciousness for your birthday. Again, purely hypothetical. So the question is, did you actually receive the gift? If you never actually did anything in response to it, did you actually receive it? See, here's the thing. See, Joshua and the priests, God said to them, I'm going to give you the land on the other side of the Jordan. Here's what you have to do, though. You have to cross the Jordan. So if you read in chapter 3, Joshua and the priests come up to the edge of the shore, and there's the water. God doesn't part the water until they actually put their foot in the water and step into it. And I often wonder, did they get to the shore and, you know, did the first person kind of dip their toe in it a little bit to see how cold it was? Should we really step in there? Is the current too fast? Was there any hesitation? But they actually had to step into the water for the water to stop flowing so they could cross over on dry ground. When God said, as you enter the promised land, I'm going to give you all the ground that you place your foot on. They actually had to walk in and place their feet on that ground to receive it. They actually had to take a step in faith. See, Joshua, for him to come to know God, he had to walk in step with God. He actually had to walk in step with where God was leading him. He had to trust God. He had to live by faith and actually move in response to God's leading in his life. You see, for Joshua, faith was not just about believing certain truths about God, because Joshua could have said, yeah, God, I believe that you're going to give us that land on the other side of the Jordan. I believe all those things. But if they remained on the other side without crossing over, he never would have realized any of that. See, Joshua had to take a risk. He had to courageously move forward in confident reliance on God and on his faithfulness for God to do what he said he would do. You see, faithfulness always requires movement because it always requires a response to God's movement in our life. It always requires movement because it requires a response to God's movement in our life. Sometimes that's physical. You have to get up and move somewhere. Other times, maybe not, but it always asks us for a response. So God says to Joshua, three times God says to Joshua, I need you to be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid. Did you notice God makes it a point to say it three times? Why three times? Well, I just think he wanted to make sure that Joshua got it, right? He wanted him to get the point. And we get that. If you're a parent, we get that. Because how many times have we had to say to our kids, multiple times, Bobby, don't put the marble in your nose. Bobby, I told you, don't put that marble in your nose. Bobby, don't put that marble in your nose. And then when you're in the emergency room and the doctor's taking the marble out of the nose, I told you not to put that in your nose. How many times have we had to do that? So we get it. So God says three times, Joshua, I need you to be strong and courageous. The first and the last time, they really explain the why behind it. The middle one, sandwiched in between, kind of unveils the how. How do we cultivate, how do we embody courage? So I just want to look at those three things real quickly in our time left this morning. And the first one's found in verse 6, the first reason why. And again, this is God. He's saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. So the first reason is this. God says, I need you to lead these people. Joshua gets his call. Joshua receives his mission. God said, I want you to lead this people, this group of people. They have huge potential. There's a lot of possibility here. But also, you've been with them for a while, so you know their flaws. You know their shortcomings. So you know what this is going to be like. But I've got something for them. I've got a land on the other side. I promise them. I want them to walk into this, to inherit this land. And reading between the lines a little, I imagine God saying to him, Joshua, this is going to test you. It's going to stretch you. It's not going to be easy all the time. It's going to be hard. It's going to require you to be courageous. So I need you to trust in me, to be strong in faith. I'm going to guide. I'm going to direct you. But I need you to trust me. This is going to push you in ways you've not been pushed before. But Joshua, I've got this. But then Joshua actually had to lead. He had to take the steps to follow God. He had to bring the people with him. He had to do those things we just talked about. They had to step into the river. They had to walk through the land. Joshua had to do those things. And that's a good word to any of us in a position of leadership in the church. We have to lead with strength and courage, but not in our own abilities. We have to lead in strength and courage for God to guide and direct us, for God to enable and equip us, to lead us to this place. We have to lead from a place of courageous faithfulness. And maybe God's been stirring something in you, and you've been hesitant. Listen to that. Because the first reason why Joshua needed to be strong and courageous, God had a mission, a big mission for Joshua. Second reason is found in verse 9. If you want to look at that, this is what God says. He says, have I not commanded you? Again, this is the third time he's saying this, so he's making sure Joshua gets it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. God says, I'm going to be with you. That's why you can be strong and courageous. You see, Joshua didn't have a reason to be afraid because of this promise. God's saying, I've got your back. Joshua, I've got your front. Joshua, I've got both of your sides. I will be with you. And that didn't mean that Joshua would never feel afraid. But he didn't need to allow the fear to paralyze him, to demoralize him. He could act courageously because of God's presence with him. And that's key for us today. Because we all deal with fear at some time, maybe at some level. You know, maybe it's a fear of a new career that God's leading you into. And you're just a little hesitant because you don't know for sure what's on the other side, how it will all work out. So there's some fear there. Maybe some of you are actually at the end of your career and you're looking at retirement, and there's some fear there because your identity is wrapped up in what you did. And so now you're not sure what that looks like on the other side. Maybe you have a fear of in school. So maybe this is a year that you're transitioning, maybe from middle, junior high school into high school, or from elementary into middle, or maybe you just graduated and you're heading to college. So there's a little bit of fear there because this is a new thing and you're not sure what to expect. Maybe it's starting a new ministry here at Faith Community that you have felt for a while, God just stirring your heart. And you're fearful because why would God want you to do it? Who am I? What do I have to offer? But you feel like God's moving you that way. Maybe it's a fear of the doctor's diagnosis that's coming this week. And you're just a little afraid of what it's going to say. Maybe it's a fear for your kids. Man, things are changing fast in our culture rapidly. Our kids are vulnerable right now. And we have a fear for what will happen in their lives. We all deal with fear at some level. But here's the thing. A godly courage, it unleashes us to act in courage in response to God in spite of that fear. So we can act in response in spite of that fear. Because God has made this promise, I will be with you. Regardless of what you face, regardless of what I call you to, I will be with you. You know, I know this is 20 years ago now. Our story, my first career, this is actually second career for me. My first career, I was an engineer, a civil engineer. That's what I went to college for. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I loved to do. I worked, I lived in Piqua. That's where Amy and I met. So I was a city engineer in Piqua for 15 years. I loved what I did. I loved engineering. I loved working. I loved doing design. I loved being a part of the build of when things were being constructed. I loved everything about it. Almost everything about it. I worked with people a lot too, and when you're working with people in a town, you work for everybody. They remind you often that they pay their taxes, so they're paying your salary. So they like to remind you that. But I loved what I did, and then God moved in my life 20 years ago, 1998, and He really stirred, and I felt Him calling me to switch vocations, to become a pastor, to go to seminary, and then be a pastor at a church. So we decided, it took 3 years of processing to get through this, but we decided what we had to do. Again, we lived in Piqua. We were going to load up and move to Asbury Seminary, Wilmore, Kentucky. So that's what we did. We loaded up our truck, and we moved south. It sounds a little bit like a Beverly Hillbilly song, right? You loaded up the truck, they moved to Beverly, but I can tell you Wilmore, Kentucky is not like Beverly Hills at all. No comparison. But it was a challenge for us. Left a great career, we left our family, we left our roots, and we knew no one when we moved to Kentucky. This was an all-new start for us. So there were mornings I would be beside my bed on my knees praying to God, what are you doing? What have you brought us to? I was an engineer, right? I could do calculus, I could do math. Now I'm having to write papers and read books. I was not a reader before this. I read the newspaper, I read the, you know, the columns for the baseball scores a lot, some Sports Illustrated, but I didn't read books. And now I'm in the new setting for me. This was tough. But looking back, it was probably some of the best years of our life as a family and as a couple. God was always faithful. Now, we didn't always see Him working. We weren't always aware of it. A lot of times it's easier to look back and see where God was. But He was always there, always provided. It was a great season of life for us. God was with us. This is the thing we learned from Joshua's story. That we take steps of faith like this because God has promised to go with us. And what we don't really even recognize is God is already before us most of the time. Already there working even before we get there. So God will be with us. And then finally, how do we cultivate? How do we embody courage, develop this courageous faithfulness? And this is that middle repetition I mentioned, that sandwiched in between. This is in the verses 7 and 8. God says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And in verse 8, he says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So the how, I mean, it seems pretty obvious. We have to be continually shaped and guided by God's word. It's really that simple. Meditate on living out God's word was to be the moment by moment vocation for Joshua. And here's the thing, God's word reveals God to us. That's why we have to be in God's word. That's how we come to know God. It's through his word. He speaks to us through it. His Holy Spirit makes him known. He makes himself known as we read, as we study, as we talk about God's word with one another. You see, the key to fulfilling God's mission for Joshua was living out a life of faithful obedience. That's to be the way of life for all of God's people. Being shaped, being formed by God's word, and then living in faithful response to it. That is our call to duty. Living in faithful response to God's word. Our call of duty. And the foundation for that, it's God's faithfulness to keep his promise. Flip back to chapter 21 in Joshua. There's this little verse kind of hidden back in here. After Joshua has done all these things that God had called him to do, there's this one verse, verse 45, that kind of sums it up. It's this: not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Not one. Every one was fulfilled. That is a testament of God's faithfulness. God's promises are sure. God is faithful to God's promises. His promises are sure because God is always faithful to his own promises. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His word never changes. His promises are always sure. Never changes. You can count on that. We can trust in him. We can believe in him that he will never leave us nor forsake us when we give our life fully to him. He's always there. You see, being strong and courageous, it's not what our culture tells us. It's not pulling up your bootstraps. It's not buckling down. It's not forging ahead. It's not just doing it. God doesn't call us to live a Nike commercial. He's not saying, just do it. You can do it. He's not there on the sidelines just cheering us on. You see, it's about being strong and courageous in faith, about trusting in God, in his word, his promise to be with us. And where the rubber really meets the road, it's living into that. Living as if you believe it to be true, because that takes courage. That takes courage, because sometimes God calls us to something that's tough, that's challenging, that will really stretch us. And it takes courage to believe that God will actually not leave us out there on our own and abandon us. It's not in our own ability, it's in God's faithfulness. Because in the end, here's the thing, it's not the size of our faith that matters, but it's the nature of our God that makes all the difference. It's the nature of our God that we follow. So Joshua's life shows us this. It's the courage to listen to Scripture, listen to God's word, faithfully live in response to what we hear God saying. Those are the keys to unlock a life of faith that lead to fulfillment and joy in our walk with Jesus. Because God's part is this, it's to call us, it's to equip us, and it's to go with us, to bring about the results through us. That's his part. Our part, it's living with courageous faithfulness in response to that call. So let me ask you this question as we close. Where is fear holding you back today? Where is fear holding you hostage today? God's moved, God's called, he spoke to you, and yet you're thinking, I just don't know if I can do this. You're hesitant. And so fear has kind of got you in its grip right now. Where might that be? Because if you think about that, where is God calling you to take a step of faith? You see, I believe God's always calling us to take a step of faith. He's always calling us to move in response to him. The question is, where is he calling you today? And is there fear that's holding you back? Because God says, be strong and courageous. I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can count on me. Courageous faithfulness. That's what he's calling us to. So I just want to invite you to stand. I have a prayer that I'd like us to say together, just out loud. So it's up on the screen, you can see it. So I'll start us. I just invite you to join us. Let's say this together. Lord Jesus Christ, all that I am and all that I have, I offer to you for your purposes in the world and for my progress in your grace. Amen. Amen. I just want to leave you today as we part here with a word from Paul from the book of Ephesians, just a benediction, if you will, blessing. So I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the full measure of God, all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So go this week in courageous faithfulness, knowing that God is with you. Amen. See you back next week.